Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The United Auto Workers strike continues as both President Biden and former President Trump prepare to visit striking workers in Michigan this week. As NPR's Camila Domonoske reports, a separate union in Canada has approved a deal with Ford, but it's not yet clear how that might play out in the American talks.
Members of Unifor, the Canadian Auto Workers Union, struck a deal without striking. Unifor says production workers in Canada will now make 35% more than equivalent workers in the U.S. Ford only employs about 5,600 union workers in Canada. It has 10 times that many UAW workers in the States. The UAW continues to negotiate with Ford, GM, and Stellantis. It seems closer to a deal with Ford, but the company's last update indicated significant gaps remain between the two sides. Workers are trying to get back some benefits they gave up about 15 years ago. The companies say the union's demands would make it impossible to compete with non-union rivals. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
With a possible government shutdown looming, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre weighed in today during her daily press briefing. Jean-Pierre saying in the event a shutdown does materialize, one group is going to get the blame.
We're going to hold extreme House Republicans accountable. We're going to hold them accountable for the reckless cuts they are demanding as a condition for keeping the government open.
Allies to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, meanwhile, are currently floating a proposal that would fund the government for 30 to 45 days with deeper spending cuts and stricter border policies. However, any deal would have to win over not just the far-right GOP lawmakers, but also Democrats in the Senate. President Biden today hosted leaders from Pacific Island nations at the White House. The meetings come as the U.S. has been trying to invest more in the Indo-Pacific region, in part to challenge China's growing influence there. More from NPR's Deepa Shivram.
President Biden announced several commitments to Pacific Island nations, including investments in economic development, digital connectivity, and combating the impacts of climate change. He said he's working with Congress to provide these investments.
The United States committed to ensuring the Indo-Pacific region that is free, open, prosperous, and secure. We're committed to working with all the nations around this table to achieve that goal.
Biden also announced that the U.S. would establish diplomatic relations with two more Pacific Island nations, Cook Islands and Niue. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, The White House.
Former President Donald Trump has returned to the campaign trail in South Carolina. The return to campaigning coming after a weekend spent issuing threats to the press, leveling multiple accusations of treason, and even claiming he could design a better fighter jet than the military. Trump, who remains the only frontrunner for the GOP nomination, was in the town of Somerville today. On Wall Street, Dow was up 43 points today. The Nasdaq gained 59 points. The S&P 500 rose 17 points. This is NPR. Chinese media is reporting the CEO and top financial officer of Chinese real estate giant Evergrande has been detained. Evergrande is one of the firms at the front lines of a state crackdown on how much debt property companies can take on. NPR's Emily Fang reports it's sending shudders through China's economy.
Chinese independent outlet Caixin is reporting that former Evergrande CEO Xia Haijun and CFO Pan Darong were detained. They're now reportedly part of a state investigation into potential violations over how the company's funds were used. Evergrande defaulted on several $100 million in bond payments starting last year and is in talks to restructure. Country Gardens, another major Chinese developer, is also struggling to pay back loans to investors this year. The two companies are part of a whole system of state banks, local governments, and private developers that relied on taking out or issuing loans to quickly build up huge amounts of infrastructure. That created rapid economic growth but incentivized taking on ever more debt, a practice the state now wants to curb. Emily Fang, NPR News.
A teen heartthrob of the 1960s in the popular hit series The Man from U.N.C.L.E., actor David McCallum has died. McCallum played alongside actor Robert Vaughn as the spy Ilya Kuryakin. He would later go on to portray a medical examiner in the popular NCIS series in 2003. McCallum's work with the U.N.C.L.E. franchise brought him two Emmy nominations. The Scottish-born actor died of natural causes at New York Presbyterian Hospital. David McCallum was 90 years old. Crude oil futures prices ended the session mostly flat, oil down 35 cents a barrel today in New York. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.